In the book of Revelation, you see the angels participating in sending God's judgment upon the earth. The Lord sends judgments upon the earth, but he uses his angels to carry it out. You see them pouring out bowls of wrath upon the earth, unsealing seals of judgment, blowing upon trumpets to proclaim or initiate judgment upon the earth, where massive catastrophes take place. The angels are involved in this. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 10 to 11, I love this, man. This just like blows my mind. Says that angels patrol the earth as God's representatives. When we were in Peru, we saw soldiers walking around with automatic weapons. Well, you know what? In the spirit, the angels of God patrol on behalf of God to carry out his will in the earth. They patrol the earth. They roam to and fro about the earth to carry out his will. If that doesn't blow your mind, check this out. In Daniel 4:17, it says they even have authority to issue decrees concerning men. Let's see if we have that up there. In this particular incident, they decreed that King Nebuchadnezzar would go insane for 7 years to humble him. And this is what it said in Daniel. This decision is by the decree of the watchers. Who are the watchers? The angels. They're not passively watching. They are intently watching you. They are intently watching you. This decision is by the decree of the watchers. In other words, they watched, they observed, they took counsel together and probably checked it out with the Lord also, and they made a decision and issued a decree based on their authority. There is an organized hierarchy of angels. They carry authority over geographical areas and the people that inhabit them. And these watchers, based on their observations, took counsel and issued a decree, and it said that, and by the sentence of the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets it over the lowest of men. So apparently, in their observations, King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't matching up. He needed to be humbled a little bit. So they took counsel, they issued a decree, they carried it out, and he went insane for 7 years. Powerful, sobering stuff. Amen. And these same angels are watching you. In fact, these same angels, these frighteningly powerful warriors of the living God that patrol the earth, that issue decrees, that execute judgment, are gathered right here, right now, in our midst, observing intently and ministering on behalf of God. And Scripture even tells us that we, as we come together to worship in the presence of God's holy angels, that we are to be diligent not to offend them. Wow. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to offend them. Praise God. If the president was sitting here, I would want to preach the whole counsel of God, but I would feel, you know, I would not want to offend him in any way. I would be, you know, on my best behavior. Well, guess what? Someone higher than the president is here in number today. 1 Corinthians 11. It says that angels, God's warriors, can be offended by irreverent behavior or irreverent attitudes in worship. So as we're gathered together and we're praising God and we're extolling him and singing his praises, if there are folks that are acting up and acting goofy and being stupid and stuff and being immoral maybe in the presence of that, they can offend angels and bring about results. 1 Corinthians 11:10 says, talks about dressing right, and it says, for this reason the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head. Why? Because of the angels. Now, in ancient culture, in that culture, women wore coverings to show their submissiveness to their husband, to show that they were moral, upright women. People, women who worship without their head covered, sent a message based on the culture in that day that they were loose or immoral or rebellious or things like that. In our particular culture, women, that head covering doesn't convey that message. In our culture, it doesn't send that same message. Nevertheless, there are fashions that do send a message that a woman might be immoral, if, for instance, her hemline is up around her navel somewhere, you know, and that is inappropriate for worship. But I can tell you this, I have seen women come into churches sometimes that you are like, you know, where do you think you are? Whose attention are you trying to get here, the Lord or the guy, you know, down in the corner of the building? And so even though, you know, I'm not saying this so that people can wear head coverings or anything like that, we need to be aware there are actions we can do, there are words we can speak, there are even clothes that we can wear that is inappropriate for the worship of the living God, and his angels take notice and may be offended at what we are doing or saying or wearing while we are in the service of God. And we need to be diligent not to offend them. Amen? Wow. Cool stuff. Let's kick it up a notch. Let's take it up one more from there. How many people want God's angels to protect them as they go? Anybody? How many people, if the enemy, if Satan launches a demonic oppressive attack against you, wants to take you out or hurt you or oppress you or hurt your family, how many people here want the angels of God to surround you and protect you? I think every one of us. In light of that, if we are must be diligent not to offend them in the service, ought we not also be diligent not to offend them while they are standing guard around us in the middle of the day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, while we're in our homes carrying on? You want the angels of God to protect you? Then don't put on some pornographic movie on the TV. Don't start gossiping and giving severe malicious, you know, backbiting against somebody that may be offensive to those whom you want protection from. Don't go engaging in some vicious, slanderous, you know, tearing apart of each other, you know, some dysfunctional, hateful argument in the middle of your house if you want God's angels to protect you, because if they are offended by that, they might just say, Lord, we're just going to walk away for a while. Paul said that if someone in church was openly rebellious and refused to heed the rebuke of the elders as far as their behavior was concerned, to have that one delivered to Satan. And he rebuked them for not having done it already. What does that mean? In other words, say, Lord, we just ask you to take your holy angels away. He's stiff-necked. He won't listen. We love him. We want him restored. But he needs a little tough love right now. Lord, we just hand him over to the enemy in Jesus' name, and pray that you would help him to see and understand. God forbid. And it's not to, you know, to smash the guy down or anything. It's in the hopes of restoring him, that he'd come to his senses and say, wow, you know, I need to check my attitude a little bit, so that it would humble him and he can repent and be restored. Wow. And you know, the angels want to guard you. They want to minister to you. That's what they were designed to do. It's their pleasure. Angels take pleasure in things. You know, they're not just like, you know, doctors or Mr. Spock in Star Trek, you know, emotionless, cold, you know, calculating logical things. Well, we must serve the Lord. You know, they have emotions. When sinners get saved, they rejoice. When God laid the foundations of the world, they rejoice so much they just burst into song. Angels have feelings. They have desires. They desire to look into the things of salvation. They are fascinated by God's redemption of his people. And so they have desires. They are intelligent. They're thoughtful. They take counsel. They issue decrees. And they even enjoy ministering to you and me when we give them the opportunity to do that. Praise God. Lord, you know, if you want your angels to minister to me and bless me and protect me and you know, build me up, I give you 100% permission. Please do. Let them have a ball. Let them fall out with joy ministering to me and my family. Amen. Have at it. Knock yourself out in a good way. Praise God. So, as long as we're at it, well, I mean, when we want that to happen, what actually is? I mean, let's talk about a little specifics here. We say we want the angels to bless us. Well, what does that mean? You know, what exactly do we want them to do for us? What does Scripture say that angels specifically do on behalf of God's people when they're sent forth to minister? Minister is a broad word. I mean, there's all kinds of ministry. What does Scripture say the angels are supposed to do for us? What can we expect? What can we hope for? Let's just open up the forum. Let's say anybody have an idea. What are some of the things that an angel, or one of the things that an angel might do to bless you on God's behalf? Anybody? I'm hearing a voice. Who said this? Oh, thank you, Tim. God bless you, brother. Protection. Yes, echoed by Mark. Protection. Absolutely. Angels protect us. In fact, it says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. You know, they shall lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalm 91 talks about, you know, being in the secret place of God and enjoying all of his protections. Angels can protect us. You know, Mary. Comfort. Amen. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, after he prayed so hard that he dripped sweated drops of blood, it said the angels came and strengthened him. Praise God. They comfort us. Wow. Gene. Huh? Bring answers to prayer. Yes. It says that they are sent forth by God. It talks about in Psalms, his mighty angels doing his will, carrying out his orders. So when you pray to God and God says, okay, and he answers that prayer, he may very well send angels to bring the answer to prayer. He brought Elijah food in the wilderness. And Daniel, praise God. John, encouragement. That's right, building you up. Lifting your spirits up, making you feel more encouraged to go out and do things. I heard a voice over here. Bring messages. In fact, the word angel means messenger. So they might bring a word from the Lord. Look, Laura. Ooh, I love it. This is great. Yes, they may bring prophetic messages of what God is doing. You see that often in Scripture, in Daniel, in Revelation. The angels say, guess what? This is what God's going to do. Write this down. Don't write that part. Write this other part. Any other ideas? Peter. How about that? That's right. Remember to be hospitable to... Here, remember, be the hospital. Don't try to be the hospital. Be the hospital. Be hospitable to people who are in need, you know, and maybe give them lodging or food or something, because many have entertained angels unawares. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. That's an excellent point. Any other ideas? Yes. Counsel. That's right. I mean, they have wisdom. They take counsel and issue decrees. And they've been around a lot longer than we have. I know I'm getting old, man. I may be turning 50. But angels are a lot older than that. So they can give counsel. Absolutely. Instructions. You know, God said do this. He wants you to do this, so you better do this. Any ideas? Other ideas? Mary Lou. Fighting for us. Going before us and fighting before us. Opening that highway. Praise God. Any other? This is great, man. Stealing all my thunder. Yes, Lynn. Shut the mouths of lions. Praise God. And you know, for anybody who's ever been in Africa, but yeah, in the case of Daniel, Daniel's life was in danger. They threw him down in the pit so that the lions would kill him, and God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. Absolutely. They even interact with animals. Amen, man. You know, if you're in somewhere and you see this dog, doesn't have to be a lion, you know. Lord, I pray you would send your angels to shut the mouth of that Doberman pincer or that pit bull or whatever happens to be. You know, that poodle, God, that's a vicious poodle. You laugh, but I had a friend, man. He had a big old Labrador. It was lovable as all get out, but his poodle would tear your leg off. If I'd have been saved back then, I'd have been praying all kinds of prayers for angels. Ken. How about that? I was like, well. Praise God. That's right. That's right.
I was going to ask, like if you were saying with your
Ooh, we're going to cover that very shortly, Ken. Excellent point. Excellent point. Put that on the shelf in your mind, and we're going to come back to that. Good point. Okay, I made up a list, and I think you covered probably everything here. Give prophetic revelation. This is based on scriptures. And if you want the scriptures, I couldn't type them all out. It was just too many. This booklet from Christian Equippers International about angels is an incredible study. It's a wonderful study in a compact design. Also, Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, there's a chapter in there which is just as good. But if you want the scriptures, just contact me and I'll make a photocopy of that for you. They give prophetic revelation. They warn and encourage in times of danger. They provide protection. They give strength and power to the saints. They come in answer to prayer to God. They take care of believers at the moment of death. You heard about Lazarus who died and angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. They preach and make announcements, particularly in the book of Revelation, an angel flying through heaven proclaiming the everlasting gospel. They appear in dreams and visions, and they give physical help. So all these things, and I'm sure even more, and all your answers were right on target. Praise God. Give yourself a hand. That was awesome. Amen. Amen. We've got some Bible scholars in here. Praise God.